Blog Talk Radio.
From the beginning, our people have shared oral history. Through colonization, we have been silenced, disconnected from our land, torn from cultural traditions, family structures became nuclear. We have always resisted. Our people don't give up. We are human. From Africa, we are all connected. In history, black bodies are neglected. I'm feeling misrepresented. It's up to me to reveal and present it. Forced across salty seas, carried by white crest peaks of greed. Trained with whips, took away my humanity. Spiritual songs brought me into reality. New breed, hybrid indeed. Cross the Mississippi to pursue the Cali dream. One generation eager to assimilate, still treated differently, still face hate. I compete so my family can eat. With the children of the sun my eyes meet. I am black, he is brown. What's the difference? Not even our complexion connected in resistance. Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
Welcome, John. The show is just beginning.
Well, greetings, Hammer, and how are you?
1 year older and 1 year better.
Look at you.
I'm in rare form today.
Really? Are you in love?
No, I'm actually mad.
Okay.
The plasma place, I took my son's friend down to donate plasma. It was our third trip down there. Every time we went there, they said, first, you need a Social Security card. You need proof of address. Then the lady told him, go eat a good meal. We're not going to take you till you eat a good meal, because he had a muffin at 2. We went and ate a turkey sandwich at the deli. I dropped him off, and they told him, your proof of address isn't good enough. Go home. So I called the manager down there and raised hell because they had already approved it.
Wow. That's crazy. I thought they wanted blood.
They're going to get my blood in a different fashion if they keep it up.
Sounds like it. Mercy.
The manager was sympathetic to the situation and she solved the problem.
Really?
How has your day been on a two-wheeler? How has your day been on a two-wheeler?
Still on it, Hammer. I had to drop off some supplies at Marina Del Rey, and I was taking the car, but I usually take the car out of the bike because this car started heating up with all this traffic and the hot spell we got going. So I pulled the car over and jumped on the bike.
So are you saying you can't drive your car more than 5 miles an hour?
Oh, no, I can drive at 50 or 60 miles an hour, but after about 15 minutes, it starts to run out of water, and I usually add it. But when I'm stopping go traffic, after about 45 minutes of in and out, it just stays hot. It's very hard to keep it cool.
Could you repeat the last half of that sentence?
Oh, yeah, just after 45 minutes to an hour of stop-and-go traffic, it's hard to keep it, you know, cool temperature. It's just, too much slow down, and everything gets all heated up. You know how it is when you're dancing in a hot club?
Yeah. Well, should we have a, I can't remember the guy's, who's the guy who used to do the telethons, Jerry something?
Jerry Lewis?
Can we have a Jerry Lewis fundraiser so you can get your car fixed?
Hey, that would be cool. I'll probably do it around first of the year. Actually, my situation works for me. It's other people who need favors. To me, my routes are very simple. It's when people ask me to go here and go there during the day on a rush. I'm not set up for that. So probably the first of the year I'll fix it, but for now, it fits for my needs. It's just other people.
Yeah. Well, I hate to see you bike to Norwalk.
Woo!
To get the weekly supply of office stuff.
Yeah, no, I got that figured out. A lot of stuff I can drop ship or just public bus and bike, or borrow a ride. It's not impossible. It's just you have to think ahead. Problem is when people don't plan and they do emergencies, that's what I'm not set up for. You know, it's not my emergency. It's other people's emergencies. I'm planned out for what I want to do.
Right. Well, just so you know, Minnesota is headline news again this week. Now they've put Adrian Peterson in exempt status.
Right.
Another kind word is suspended. He cannot attend any activities with the Vikings. He cannot wear his uniform in public. He cannot play until he solves all his legal problems.
Yeah, he's in a little bit of hot water. The only thing I
and Fran Tarkenton gave an interview with Inside Edition about it.
What did he say?
I didn't catch it. I just caught on Twitter that he was going to do the interview. And today at noon, the Minnesota Vikings had a media conference about it, and I missed that too. But needless to say, I don't know if you heard, but Mark Dayton, our governor, made a very strong Mark Dayton made a very strong statement about Adrian Peterson being removed from the team indefinitely. Now, that would be something like if a player acted up in any state, what's your feeling about that? That a governor of a state is getting involved with a private industry?
Yeah, I think he's obviously he gets paid to be very political and make a scene and get popularity. I kind of feel, though, it's like if it was a problem in his own cabinet, he'd want everything hush-hush. There's a lot of people that hit the kids.
Well, I know, but do you think that he has the moral right? I'm going to read part of the quote, but just elaborate a minute. Do you think he has the moral right to define what the Minnesota Vikings should do and even publicly comment on it?
Yeah, I don't think so. He is a public figure, and obviously people are going to ask him, because it is like a team of the – it represents the city and the community and the state, and he is the football player's high profile. But I just don't like when suddenly because he's governor, he's going to be a moral and spiritual leader on situations just because it's unpopular. Like the lightning rod issue, he wouldn't care. There's other issues that are very more important. Like, what about the tobacco and alcohol industry? Why don't we go after them? He's just going after something that, looks like very criminal activity, that's all.
Well, Adrian Peterson already lost 3 endorsements, including 2 charities. Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton has called on the Vikings to suspend running back Peterson, calling the Pro Bowler's alleged child abuse a public embarrassment to the team and state. It's an awful situation, Dayton said in a statement. Yes, Mr. Peterson is entitled to a due process and should be innocent until proven guilty. However, he is a public figure and his actions as described are a public embarrassment to the Viking organization in the state of Minnesota. Whipping a child to the extent of visible wounds, as has been alleged, should not be tolerated in our state. Therefore, I believe the team should suspend Mr. Peterson until the accusations of child abuse have been received by the criminal justice system.
True. However, you could also say, how about Prince? Prince is a cool dude. What happens if he sleeps around with some women? Should he go after Prince because he's womanizing? Someone would say, well, that's just their own, moral issue, internally.
Well, Prince isn't part of a team, and Prince has brought a lot of revenue to the state and little embarrassment. He's also won an Oscar for Happy Feet. And and ever since his child died about a week after it was born, he married his maid, And he's not really known to be a womanizer.
Well, you know, you could say, I mean, there's a long list of women he slept with, and I don't think he's bad. I'm just saying that the governor has nothing to say about that because it's not a popular thing. He's not trying
well,
to be moral.
Well, plus Prince
about
isn't part of a team. The Vikings are an institution in the state, and Wisconsin and Minnesota football is second to God only. In fact, I read an article once that the Catholic priest shortened the sermon one time so they could get home for the Green Bay Packer game. So the fact of the matter is that, Mark Dayton is a lifelong resident of Minnesota. Dayton's is a big store up here like Kohl's is in Wisconsin. He's not like a flash-in-the-pan governor. The family name is one of the most wealthy and well-known in the states, and he's a Minnesota institution in himself. So I do think he crossed the line, though, in this sense. I'm going to get off my moral parade. I don't think it was Dayton's right. I think Dayton made it worse, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he's governor of the state, and even if the Vikings are a big thing here, even though the NFL has botched a lot of things lately, like that commissioner's in trouble with Ray Rice, I still don't think it's Mark Dayton's place to call the shots. If he really trusts the Vikings organization, let them make the decisions. Because they said that they weighed the decision heavily, and they thought it out for several hours before making a decision on what to do with Adrian Peterson, and they decided to do this to give him time to solve his own family issues.
True, and he's a governor. He's supposed to run a state. He's not supposed to run football teams or, you know, how a doctor's office works. Or, you know, I mean, in other words, there's groups and institutions. There's child protective. There's police department. There's NFL. There's a commissioner. That's their job. Does he want to do that job? He should quit being governor. You know, like put... Keep his nose into his own business and take care of his stuff and let other people deal with their junk, you know. Now, if it went on for, like, a couple of years and it was a national problem and scandal, I can understand that, but it's just...
You know what I think? I think this whole thing blew up pretty fast. And, like, first they deactivated him for one game and then reactivate him. It's kind of like a slap on the hand. They reactivated him Monday. Then it came out in the news that he hit another child that belongs to him, age 4, slapped him from the front seat to the back seat and left a scar. And the mother made child abuse charges, but it didn't go anywhere. And that's when the NFL stepped in and the Vikings leadership and the governor. So I don't know. I guess maybe it was bound to happen, but Adrian Peterson didn't have any breathing room once that second charge came up after him.
Right, well, what kind of cooked his goose is that, I mean, a child is innocent, you know, he's a 4-year-old kid. There is, you know, it's not that he just got beat, there's marks. It's not just one mark, it's like 6 or 7. I mean, it looks like Jesus, you know, before he's crucified.
It does, it looks pretty bad.
Bones or has, you know, physical damages. He can't walk. I mean, you know, you can give someone a hickey. You can scratch someone's arm, and it'll look terrible. And yet, it was painful, but not like life or death. But still, the point is, this is a 4-year-old kid, and it looks terrible. And that's the kind of making such a big deal about it. And that's good. But I just think as far as
and the wife, the mother of the child had the nerve now to say, don't be putting my kid's pictures everywhere. Well, they never showed his face. They only showed his leg. They didn't show his scrotum or his back. I think I saw one picture of his back. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it's public. They have the right to show it. It's public interest.
Well, you know, if they hadn't shown the pictures, not so much action would have been done about it. I mean, when you see the pictures, it makes you, you know, definitely want to do something about it and protect the child. And obviously her choice in men wasn't that good. She chose one guy that beats his kid and the other one that beat a kid to death. So he's kind of 0-for-2 in picking, you know.
Right, like he didn't beat his kid to death, but because he was a negligent parent and didn't follow up with that woman who had the child and then she ended up with a murderous boyfriend, I'm not saying he's responsible for the death of his child, but if he had been involved in his son's life, that may have never happened.
Yeah, well, I'm saying the woman, right? Is it not the same woman that chose Adrian Peterson and Patterson
also?
No,
it's a different kid from a different woman.
Wow.
The kid that died a year ago, his name was Tyrese Ruffin.
Uh-huh.
Adrian Peterson didn't even know it was his kid until the kid had already gotten beaten up and put in a coma. The first time he ever visited the kid was in a coma right before he died.
Wow.
And then he had the nerve to ask the mother for a DNA test. So then it was proven that it was his child, and he attended the funeral.
That's a one big circle of crazy.
And, well, the other thing, John, is that she may not have told him. She may, let's say she had a problem getting a hold of him, you know. Let's say she had a problem getting a hold of the dad saying, hey, this is your kid, or let's say she left a message, you have a child, and he didn't answer back. I mean, we don't really know the circumstances of that whole situation, right?
Wow. Well, it seems like it happens a lot to to basketball and football players that are African American. You know, they've got like 6 or 7 kids from, you know, like Terrell Owens or, you know, Lamar Odom and other people. It's just kind of crazy.
I would say there's probably a handful of white guys porking women, too, but for some reason they're ducking below the radar or they don't hit their kids. So the fact of the matter is Randy Moss, he married a Minnesota woman with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he had 3 or 4 kids by her, and he stuck with one woman. Now, maybe he slept with some other on the side, I don't know, but Adrian Peterson is becoming a bigger public relations disaster than Randy Moss.
Apparently so.
Randy Moss was driving fast down a Minnesota street in Minneapolis. It was like it had a double medium because it was a place where buses went through, and it was like a mall court area. And the cop tried to stop him, and apparently he dragged a female police officer 100 yards. She somehow got stuck on his car, and he dragged a cop that far.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if her sleeve got caught or what, but somehow she got dragged with the vehicle. So that was pretty low down, but he just had anger issues, and he was from West Virginia, and he had kind of a tough upbringing, but I don't know the whole story. I think the Vikings are doomed because we haven't had a winning season since probably 2002, and now they finally won their whole preseason 4-0. They won their first 1 or 2 games, and the first game Peterson was out, they lost. So no matter what they do, they're doomed to lose.
Apparently so. Yeah, they've always had kind of a troubled history, you know, of succeeding all the way. They seem to go far, and then they fail at the end.
They've lost 4 Super Bowls under Fran Tarkenton.
Wow.
4 effing Super Bowls. And trust me, that was the year that I stopped watching because it just got to be too – I couldn't handle it anymore.
It sounds like it.
So, anyways, what else can we talk about today? I have to leave at 6:10. I can talk the whole 45 minutes, actually. Is there anything on your mind besides that situation in the NFL?
Well, there's so much stuff going on. It's just kind of a crazy world out there. Someone sent me a picture of the various different presidents in their their military outfits, you know, Eisenhower and Nixon and Bush. And as you go along, you know, they got their Navy outfit or their Army or whatever. And when it gets to Clinton, they have his, like, a high school band outfit on. When they get to Obama, they have him with a turban and robes. I don't know. It's kind of cheap.
Say what?
You know, our presidents used to be like strong military leaders, you know, that kind of knew how to direct us in the war. And now, not so much. They're kind of like social worker, helper people, drama students, you know?
Yeah. But
I don't know. I think just I think our leadership is just a little bit crazy. I'm not talking about the president. I just mean in general. Like with this Minnesota governor, I just think they're looking for publicity is the problem. I don't think they're that concerned because they would have been up in you know, everyone's face about it earlier. It's just when it hits the headline, suddenly now it's a big deal. He's got to straighten it out. Like, what about all abused children and women? You know, I mean, I don't know his history, but it just seems like everyone's looking for headlines and not really concerned about the actual, you know, victims.
Yeah.
And
what do you mean by that?
Oh, I just mean like you look at all these. It's kind of like when you see in the news singer or an artist or a movie star will make a comment or they'll do something very controversial in public. And you wonder, why is this going on? Well, it's because they have a new movie coming out, and they just need the publicity for it. And it's no longer, they don't really care about the environment or about, you know, women's rights or gay issues. They just, they have a movie coming out, and they're trying to promote it. And that's my only concern, is the government really care about, you know, abuse.
Well,
children.
I did think about that in the as I was reading the article, you know, the article was covered by the New York Daily News, and it does put Mark Dayton front and center in the headlines. I mean, the Vikings have enough to deal with, and like I said, this whole story escalated so fast, almost as fast as the Michael Vick story. So I guess they're really Adrian Peterson is being really shamed. He doesn't have a leg to stand on right now, and you know, I don't think he has a lot of career options. He served 7 solid years with the Vikings, and I think Mark Dayton really hurt him by doing this. So in the long run, in the big picture of things, even if it's going to give Mark Dayton some political clout, which he doesn't even need because he's probably going to win the second term for governor anyway, I just think it's, you know, a lot of sports fiends are saying Peterson's being dissed. You know, and if I were the manager of the Vikings or even the Texas court, I would have said you need parenting classes and you have to manage your anger with your child. And I don't think he should be convicted. I think he should get another chance. But I do think he should have supervised home visits for any child that's not actually living with him right now. Because he does have 2 children living with him.
Well, I mean, you bring up a point. He has a job. He supports the family. He brings income into the state. He has something that's probably he's been doing, you know, most of his life as a parent, the way he disciplines his kids. Suddenly it becomes public and the whole world is appalled. Yet a lot of people discipline their kids, you know, some worse, some less. You know, I believe in discipline, but not to that level of hitting with a stick or leaving marks.
Or breaking skin.
Or breaking skin or breaking arm. I just believe in a little, you know, a palm of the hand to the butt cheeks of someone that may be 6 to 9 years old or 10, depending on the maturity, just to stress your point. Not every day, not every minute, just in a once-in-a-lifetime kind of defiant, you know, attitude thing. You know, that's where I see it appropriate. But, I mean, if you thanking your kid every day. I mean,
I do have one feeling about it. Like, for example, that second incident that came up, he was driving in the car. There were a 4 and a 5-year-old in the back seat. The 4-year-old swore at the 5-year-old, and he turned around and whacked him. Now, that gives me the impression that he uses hitting often, that
right.
he's constantly hitting his children.
That's his style, but the point is, it just became public. They're just dealing with it. And so now, it's like anything. If you have a first-time offense with anything, you know, you're probably going to get probation. You're probably going to get parole. They're going to keep an eye on you. You're going to take some classes and deal with it. But to crucify someone on, when something becomes public for the first time, I don't see the whole benefit of that, you know?
Yeah. Well, who knows? You know, life is pretty weird. So I think next episode we should discuss the current congressional election because it's less than 2 months away. And have you been following any of the battleground states?
No, not too much lately. I kind of cram course it a little bit when it comes close, but I don't really follow every day to day. It's not because I don't want to. It's just there's too much information out there to keep a track of. You know, and it changes every week.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular favorites that you like to follow or state?
Well, it's funny because I got an email from the Al Franken campaign, you know, and they asked me to volunteer, and 4 years ago I was a paid employee. So I am just going to go volunteer 2 hours, but I don't even know where he stands on the issues. So I'm going to sit in their office an hour and read to see if I even agree with what I know he's a fan of Obamacare, but I think he's against going to war for ISIL or ISIS. So,
right.
You know, who knows, you know. But so I'm just going to check that situation out. And then I'm not really into politics, mainly because I'm too busy. But I know there's a couple of battleground states where some of them have been pulling stunts, and now I can't even remember the name. So I'm pretty out of the loop with that situation. So how about you? Have you been following any of the gubernatorial or congressional races or Senate races?
No, ever since Arnold broke my heart, I don't follow the governors too much. I thought he would really do some changes when he became governor, and just to see how the whole process just steamrolled him, and he became very ineffective. So, I really don't follow him too much, to tell you the truth. And it's just there's so much out there. You'll hear someone spat off every once in a while when there's a problem. You know, and they try to make headlines. But, I really don't follow the governor positions that much, you know.
Okay, well, we've reached the 30-minute mark, and I think this episode is, you know, pretty much dwindling. So do you have any final comments of what your feelings are about today? Plus to mention that you're not in a very good spot. Transportation-wise, are you still on your bike?
Well, actually, I just switched from bike to car. I'm driving down. I'm driving back to my place so I can wrap up, the business day. But, it's a blessing to have transportation. You know, we take it for granted. You know, to think if you were going to go, 5 or 10 miles, you might spend half a day walking, and just to jump in the car, it's changed. Where we work, before you'd have to work just a few blocks away from where you live, but now you could live miles and miles away. So I think we're rather fortunate. I think we need to come up with better public transportation, and I think there's a little too much freewheeling around. Myself, I've always tried to stay close to where I work, and I broke that rule when I worked at SOS. And I always regretted it, having to commute. How about you, Hammer? Do you drive quite a bit?
Well, I do think you should get your car situation straightened out because you have to run a lot of errands for your job. But luckily, you do work from home a lot, so that's a convenience, that a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, I just think we've got to change the way we do stuff and make things easy to there's just it all deals with money and incentives. If you make it economically beneficial, people will carpool, people will align the schedules, businesses will go 24/7, so you have a whole flow instead of just the 9 to 5. And you see with the internet, a lot of things that are 24-hour. And it's actually, I think, a good flow. You know, when everything bottles up, I'll give you an example. If you say transportation, let's say our highways have 8 lanes, you could double or triple them, but it doesn't matter because when you get the turnoff, it's 2 lanes to turn off, and the streets are still the same. So you're still going to back up no matter how many lanes you do for freeways. So, you know, making a bit more lanes on the highway isn't the answer. We have to come up with ways to get people commuting, you know, in tandem that's effective and efficient.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, we talked about leadership, you know, with governors. Example, with the governor of Minnesota, you know, stop talking about, you know, a guy that beat up his kid on the weekend. I mean, is it terrible? Yes. But deal with, how about transportation problems? How about unemployed people? How about single moms, you know? How about American business, companies leaving America? That's stuff he should be working on and flapping his gums about, and he doesn't, right? He's too busy trying to score points with the media. It's like, you know, do your job and make government efficient and help beneficial to the people. That's my next question.
Well, let's see. I guess in terms of today's show, it's not efficient for government, in my opinion, to weigh in on the Adrian Peterson scandal when it's so new. If a week had gone by or if it was in a real crisis, then I think he could have said something. But if they lose 3 games in a row and there's no Adrian Peterson there to save them, then are the Vikings willing to pay that a price of a losing season for a child that was potentially abused?
Right, and I'll put it another way. It's like, let's not try our athletes in the public media without the legal system, without a trial, without witnesses. You know, I mean, again, you take some pictures, and granted, it looks terrible, but you're not hearing the whole story, and you're not letting it go through the legal process. And that's the thing. Is he judge and jury? I'm not. So I don't want to, you know, take that position. Now, when they examine all the evidence and go through everything, then, you know, people maybe can talk a little bit more about it. But I just think they should let the process
happen. I guess
this
is our third show that we've done on football, and we might have to change our theme to, what's that old term they used to use for football in the old days? Do you remember leathernecks or something?
I think so. Yeah.
Something like that. There's an old word for football. I can't think of it right now. But we might have to change the topic of our show. I mean the permanent topic.
I'm sure we could if the players would just stop getting in trouble every week.
Well, first it's Ray Rice, and then it's Adrian Peterson. And there is a lot of sports scandals nowadays, let's face it.
I think they're saying NFL players, something like 1 out of 4 of them have committed a felony. So it's a high percentage, you know, a little bit more than your basic population. So the boys are getting out of control. They got a lot of money. They get guns. They hang around with, you know, parties and strip clubs and other things. And they get out of control, you know. They live
yeah,
a privileged
I do
life.
Have. I'm sorry. I agree. So I was going to tell you one thing. Well, it dropped about 40 degrees today, but we went on a field trip at 11 to Hawks Ridge. It's a high bluff on Lake Superior where you see cool-looking birds. And I saw a bald eagle with a very long wingspan today. And it was very beautiful. It was 70 and sunny.
It's amazing. And in a couple of weeks, it'll start to be winter, right? I mean, it'll start to get real cold.
You know what? It dropped 40 degrees today for some strange reason. It went from like 70 I would say it's in the high 30s right now with high winds. So I guess there must be a storm coming in.
We used to get that in Nebraska, you know, it'd be like 80, 90 degrees. You're going into town, you come back home, and it's like 30, 40 degree drop, wind blowing and clouds and, you know, just craziness. I remember we went to North Dakota one time, and it was 4th of July, and they had snow. And all the kids were like, you know, had just shorts and T-shirts and things like that. Crazy.
Well, my final thoughts is, you know, when you really, this is my final thoughts for the night. When you really think about it, football is a game. There's thousands and thousands of dollars invested in the players, the teams, the tickets, the sports betting. It's not just, you can't shrug it off like a game because of the financial investments. It makes or breaks careers. However, it's not really that long of a season. I believe it's only 10 to 12 games a year. But to think of how much America invests in this type of sport, what does that say about our society? And what are we really producing? Are we producing rich assholes who ruin their morals because of the money they're getting? Or does it produce sheep and goats? Like Oral Hershiser was a moral guy for the Dodgers. And Fran Tarkenton was moral, and Bud Grant was moral. But look at all the people that we are, who are benefiting in a negative way. So we have to maybe rethink the sport and the investment. That's my final thought.
I guess you could say it's just a return to nothing new under the sun, and that our society is like the old Roman Empire. We have these bread and circuses. You know, we want free health care and free food for everyone. And we want free entertainment. You know, so we have pro football. It's like a gladiator sport. And as long as we have the games going on, we don't really care about the rest of the world or the problems thereof. We just block it out. So it's like a blood sport. You know, we want to see guys get smashed up and carried away.
Well, I think for some people it is a religion. They go tailgate every single Sunday. They dress
absolutely
in costumes. So,
right.
I don't know.
And, yes, I mean, have we changed any since the, you know, Roman times? I mean, at least they're not eaten alive by lions, but they're still, you know, they're getting smashed around, you know.
I'm going to have you talk the last 7 minutes. I have an issue. You can talk 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and just hang up when you're done. Thank you for joining us today on this general discussion on football and society. I hope you enjoyed it, and John will be making the conclusion. Thank you. Good night.
Well, there you have it. Janessa Hoffman has dropped her holy hammer, and we had a very interesting discussion about football, about you know, athletes and the decisions they make when they commit things that are violent acts, and it gets judged in the community. It gets judged in public through social media, through the press, and it's you know, nowadays everything's about ratings, and again, it kind of goes back to money. The reason the NFL is making such a big deal about this is because the NFL is big business. It's a corporation, and it's a bunch of billionaire owners, and they're concerned about their public image. And, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, it might have made the news, but it wouldn't have been such a big deal. How come? Because there wasn't so much information out there. You know, you might get a picture in a magazine, and, you know, at the end of the week, have an episode or an expose. But it's not like right now, like this hits the internet, it's Twitter, it's tweeted, it's Facebook, it's on every you know, website, and it's commented on every moment, including this show. something that we never had, you know, years ago. So I think as a society, we just need to realize that this is the kind of environment we have. People are just getting hyped up about every little thing, and everything gets blown up more and more to where it just reverberates. So instead of just mentioning it once, it's just mentioned over and over and over, and they're going to ride this thing until someone else makes a mistake. In fact, I'm sure Adrian Peterson is just praying that someone else will, you know, do something to divert all the attention. And that's one of the reasons why the Vikings basically put him on leave, is because they wanted to stop being such an issue. So now that they've suspended him, it's everyone can kind of leave it alone just a little bit, and they don't have to talk about it every game and every practice, and it kind of gets them off the hook until it goes to the legal process. So that's the culture we're in. It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. You know, pretty soon they'll have probably a GPS in everyone's car, everyone's room, and every little thing you do, you know, people are going to be commenting on it. And that's the difference between when I was growing up. You could abuse someone or you could get abused, and it was kind of something that no one talked about. You'd have our own little skeleton in your closet. Nowadays, your kids running around with their cell phones. People have video cameras and home security cameras and go out in public. All kinds of everything's being recorded. Everything's hooked up to GPS. They're tracking where you are, your conversations. I went to supper with a friend. We were talking about political things, and he didn't want to talk because his phone was on. He was afraid that the government was listening to him. And he was just, you know, you don't want to say anything against the president. He wanted to make sure that we were, his phone was turned off and we were in a, you know, a safe and secure zone. And when I grew up, we didn't have that concern. You know, we weren't freaked out about every little thing like that. So it's a new generation.
Hi, John.
Hi.
We still have 5 minutes left. I took care of some personal business on the Golden Throne.
Well, I was telling the audience how I was at dinner with a friend over the weekend, and we were talking about political things.
I heard that part. My friend Zach went to Perkins with me, and he didn't want to use his Wi-Fi because he thought that his passwords would be captured, and he's only 19.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, we were talking, and someone texted him about 911, and he said, you know, 911 was an inside job. He said, I already know that, but I can't discuss this because my phone is on right now. And he's afraid the government's tracking him, and, you know, he's a little bit of a conspiracy person, and who knows? Who knows the truth?
I really think people have a distorted view of that self-importance. I mean, because I'm pretty sure the government's not following me, even though I have a radio show. But they might be following Ernest for making anarchist statements all day long.
Well, like to that point, example, you know, 3% of the people, their taxes are audited, you know, 97% or more aren't. So I know, I have friends, I know they haven't paid taxes for like 7 or 8 years. Here we're concerned about the government watching every word we say about Obama or whatever. But they're really concerned about money. I mean, if they were really up on their game, they would have busted, you know, anyone who's not paying the taxes. They're not that connected yet. You know, maybe in the future, yes. But right now, not so much.
I agree. And the only thing that I did that was